I think the other thing that's interesting, and you know, your article really addresses it, is the whole concept and model of stem cell transplant and how is it going to be affected by these new agents. Can you sort of summarize the bottom line from your own perspective right now, today, where we are in terms of that question?
Well, stem cell transplant currently, I believe, is still an important strategy in the management of patients. Stem cell transplantation, especially autologous stem cell transplant, is a highly effective treatment. It has relatively low risk of serious complications. The mortality is only a few percent, 1 to 2%. There is some morbidity in terms of cytopenias and mucositis, but it produces high rates of remission and high rates of what we call complete response. We think that complete response is an important surrogate for long-term outcome. Patients who achieve complete responses live longer than patients who do not. The reason that the role of stem cell transplant is being challenged is that we now have these new drugs and new combinations that produce complete remissions, complete responses at a rate formerly only seen with transplant. And so now we're stepping back and saying, okay, we have a patient who's in a remission after their induction therapy with one of these novel combinations. Is a transplant still going to be useful for these patients? And we don't yet know that for sure. What we do know is that from some preliminary data, some of the novel drug combinations, that doublets and triplets, and these are using two or three drug combinations, are producing very high rates of response and complete remissions. We know that these patients then taken on to transplant actually upgrade their response rates after transplant. So the remission rates become more robust, the higher percentage of patients get into these remissions after transplant. So it appears, at least initially, that a transplant still adds value to a patient who's been treated with one of these novel drug combinations. What we don't yet know is, does that translate into an improved survival? And that's one of the major questions right now.
Are there clinical situations right now where you see patients who had a very good response, complete response, to induction therapy where you might hold off on a transplant today where you wouldn't have a few years ago?
I would say that it is not unreasonable for a patient who's achieved a complete remission to delay or defer transplant. What I would say is that if it's logistically and economically feasible, I would recommend that such a patient at least have their stem cells stored at the time of remission. What that does is bank some cells for future treatment when the patient recurs, because I do think the majority of patients who achieve complete remission with novel inductions are in fact going to recur after a period of time. When that happens, then these stem cells are available to them for a deferred type transplant. So we call that early transplant compared to late transplant. So this would be the use of transplant later on in the course of the disease.
What do you yourself consider, you know, in terms of eligibility, particularly in terms of age and performance status for a transplant? And how much variation is there in how people who focus on transplant, where they set that bar?
The eligibilities for transplant depend on the center and the country. In the U.S., we typically will transplant a patient who is up to age 70, and the patient has to have a reasonably good performance status. Generally, they can't have serious cardiac disease. They can't have serious lung or liver dysfunction. It is possible to transplant patients with major renal dysfunction. There is even the ability to do patients who are on dialysis. In Europe, their standard generally will accept patients up to about 65 years of age, so they're actually a little more conservative than we are. they generally don't transplant patients above the age of 65. I will say that as you get older, the studies supporting the benefit of transplant are less robust, meaning that we have fewer data in older patients above the age of 65 or 70 to say that a stem cell transplant is beneficial for survival. And so that's probably 65 to 70 as a generality is an appropriate cutoff for considering a patient for transplant.
So in older patients, is it the issue or question of toxicity or the question of benefit or both?
I think it's both. The risk-benefit ratio tends to change for these patients as you get older. So older patients are more likely to experience some toxicity, and we have less robust data that suggests transplant is of benefit.